It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I thought the entire drive that if they scored, they would go for two. You know, I approach it. I'm not saying Tampa Bay should look at it and say they're not as good as Kansas City. But, you know, when you're on the road against the defending world champs and you've got them on the ropes and you get a chance to win a game, you know, on one play, I think you've got to do that. And we've seen this too many times. And it doesn't necessarily guarantee that they would have gone on to win. But right. To have it come to a coin toss in overtime to see who ultimately was going to win, unless he just had enormous confidence his defense was going to be able to make a stop, which they didn't do. But, yes, I fully expected him to go for two.
Troy Aikman. Confidence his defense could make a stop. Didn't his defense give up 500 passing yards this year?
Yeah.
In a game? And when Troy Aikman is calling you out publicly for being too conservative, it's time to have a conversation. Yeah. It's time.
Yeah.
Todd, come on in my office. Did you hear? Aikman's after you. It's interesting. By the way, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, happy Tuesday. NFL trade deadline day, election day. Get out and vote. And if you're in line.
I haven't seen.
You know what we should do? Like, listen to us. On the app, in line, voting. We'll try to keep you entertained and informed.
I haven't seen what the Manning cast did about going for two at the end, but I have to imagine Peyton Manning was like slamming something.
I wonder.
That. I don't know for sure, but.
I wonder if we get to a tipping point on this exact scenario because it happened in the Bills-Dolphins game, and I thought Miami should have gone for two.
Yeah.
And we all thought, maybe not everybody, but I thought Tampa should have gone for two. The Patriots had a chance. You're the New England Patriots. They right. score on the last play to tie Tennessee. Go for two.
Yeah.
Well, so it's interesting to me that you pointed out four teams had the exact scenario play out where you'd score late to tie and you can go for two. None of them went for two, and all of them lost. And in the NFL, the name of the game is, for a lot of these conservative coaches, I don't want to lose yet. You could try to win right now, but I don't want to lose right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's a tipping point or if this will, in 2 years, 5 years, become conventional knowledge that you should probably go for this if you're the underdog.
Because
in like the next-gen stats and the win probability stuff, if I plug in you're playing against one of the top five teams in the league, what's your chance to win? You're Miami against the Bills. You're a 5.5-point dog. You're New England against Tennessee. They were a dog in that game, right? Who's the fourth game? It's Bills, Chiefs.
The article I read at ESPN didn't say what the four games were, so I don't know what the fourth one was. Could it have been Rams-Seahawks?
Maybe. Where's there a game-winning kick? But I wonder if we get to, again, like the numbers said it's a coin toss. Could it be the same as everyone decides deferring in the first half is better? That's a thing the team, everybody's kind of decided. It's better to get the ball in the second half, go for the double dip.
That was it. The Seahawks scored a touchdown with 51 seconds left to tie the Rams 20-20, and then they lost the coin toss in Then they won the coin toss in overtime.
But still
they
lost.
Turned it over on downs on 4th-and-1 and then lost the game.
Yeah.
But that's the fourth one, I think. Yeah, they had 51 seconds left, down one, they kicked the extra point.
Go for two. Now that's maybe 51 seconds versus last night there's even less time than that. For Miami, there's a lot of time left.
Yeah, there's a minute.
There's a minute.
That also, I wonder how much it really does matter where the coach is in their life cycle. Because what you're doing by going for two, maybe this is why John Harbaugh is the guy that does this more than anybody.
Because he's very safe.
He's so secure.
And he's won a lot.
Oh, yeah. He's sitting on a golden chair on that sideline. He's got that job for as long as he wants it, probably. So he goes for two because if he gets it wrong, and then, well, who's everyone looking at? You lose that game. What is the microscope on? Everybody's looking at your decision. You lost the game right then and there. And suddenly it becomes more about the coach losing the game. Even if it's not fair, even if you were right in making the decision, you're going to have everybody debating and talking about, oh, did he make the right call? Did he not? Did he cost them the game? You're now under the microscope. And if you're John Harbaugh, what do you care? You're John Harbaugh. If you're Mike McDaniel, I don't know. Maybe you feel like you're under a little bit more pressure.
Maybe.
To do that. You don't want the microscope on you. You don't want the owner, you know, calling you the next day, asking you about that decision to go for it. Because if you don't, you just kick the extra point and you give up a 61-yard field goal. What's it about? Well, I mean, guys, we lost by a 61-yard field goal. What are you supposed to do? I mean, that's franchise record. Look how close we were. You just got beat. Suddenly you just got beat rather than, well, I kind of, you know, maybe I lost the game by going for 2-point conversions. And I don't know, is Bowles in a similar spot to that? Like, Bowles, McDaniel, McDonald's new, so I don't know about him. But if you're a coach that's, you know, into your third year with a team and you feel like, you know, you're maybe on the microscope a little bit more, maybe you're less inclined to go for that. I wonder if Mike McDaniel 2 years ago would have gone for it.
Right. Let's ask this question. Say the Bills-Dolphins game is flipped and it's the Bills that score late with a minute left. You want them to go for two?
Yes.
Does home and road matter to you?
No.
Tua versus Josh Allen matter to you? You want them to go for two there?
I think I want them to go for two.
In
regular season.
Regular season.
Mostly. Because I don't want the game to ever come down to, oh, I hope I get the coin flip to go.
Especially
my way.
In a game like that one where if you're playing the feel.
Yeah.
It's funny, like Aikman there saying, like, oh, he trusted his defense. That game, they had a 17-10 lead and the Chiefs had scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Like, why start trusting your defense now?
Right, they had just, I think, yeah, they had been playing good. Well, they had been, you know, keeping them somewhat limited. Yeah, fourth quarter, they had just forced a punt, I guess, before that. But the previous two drives were long touchdown drives.
Yeah.
By the Chiefs.
803-0550. So, a thought on that if you want it. Also, it is NFL trade deadline day. I think the Bills have to add on their defensive line. Whether it's
Have to.
Yeah, I think they have to. Whether it's a set the edge defensive end or if it's a true pass rusher, because the pass rushing stats for the Bills are, I don't know if I want to go with alarming, because some of it is, as we talked about in the first hour, you know, they got eaten up in the run game against Miami, and Miami got to the edge. So, okay, there's your set the edge guy.
Yeah.
The Bills don't blitz. The Bills in blitz percentage are third lowest in the NFL. Third lowest. And in quarterback pressure or hurry percentage, how many quarterback hurries per dropback are there? They are sixth worst.
Yeah.
They're hurrying a quarterback on 4.4% of dropbacks, according to Pro Football Reference.
Yeah.
And it's what? It's Rousseau and what, really?
So I was looking at the individuals on this, and pass rush win rate on the season. So this is out of... There are 125 pass rushers in the league that qualify for this stat right now. Out of 125, this is where the Bills' edge rushers rank in pass rush win rate. Rousseau, 13th. He's great. Plays a lot of snaps, too. Vaughn, 26th. Really good, but he's played 86 snaps on the year. A lot of these other guys have played like 300. That's the suspension and also that he doesn't play every snap. Okay, so you got 13th and 26th. Next... is DeJuan Smoot out of 125 at 100th. A.J. Epinesa, 106th. Casey Tuhill, 114th. You've got two guys. It's basically a two-man show right now when it comes to getting pressure on the quarterback from the edge position. Interior might be a little better off. So, you know who's tied with Rousseau at 13th? Is a guy that probably is getting traded today in Za'Darius Smith. Right?
Yeah.
So, that isn't the guy you want... Someone that does what Vaughn does but can play on first and second down, because Are we not seeing the way they want to use Vaughn more and more is just he's just playing
third down specialist.
Third down specialist, right.
Yeah.
Late game situations, like that Baltimore game. Go back to that he was not suspended for that Baltimore game. He was not injured for that Baltimore game.
He just didn't play because the situation, yeah they kind of saved him.
He was coming off a great game, too, against Miami. He actually, you look at that game, he had three sacks in a row to start the year. Sack against Arizona, sack against Miami, sack against Jacksonville. And I think he played like five snaps against the Ravens. Just the matchup, the type of team you were playing, who you could see in the playoffs later on, Von Miller, just like you can't even put him on the field. Because you can't have him play, I guess, at this stage and at this health on first and second downs when Derrick Henry might be running the ball. He played nine snaps in that game. That was it.
We'll see if we get some trades moving in the next couple hours as the league wakes up. And 4 o'clock deadline today, I think defensive line is the number one thing. Of course, the potential injury to Keon Coleman, if he's going to miss time, factors in there. We already know DeJuan Smoot's going on IR, so that's big there too. And
yeah,
Dwayne Carter is on IR for a couple weeks here, out missing four games, three left.
Aziz Ojulari.
Is he Giants?
Giants.
Yeah.
Ojulari, he's getting calls reportedly, according to Tom Pelissero. Subject of several calls.
Okay.
He is in the final year of his contract.
803-0550, if you think they need to add, where is it? And if you want to talk about overtime with us and going for two, would you have gone for two? Bills, Chiefs. Scenario last night, go for two. You said not playoffs. Playoffs is a more equitable overtime format.
I still might, but I feel like it's automatic in regular season, and I might be more on the fence for playoffs.
It's worth pointing out in the playoffs, you will have the chance to go for two if you get a touchdown.
Yeah.
Here it is, the regulation, and you've got your touchdown. You want to go for two? Want to do it now, or you want to make it where you have to get another touchdown? Anyway,
yeah.
Mark and Chicawaga. Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Whew, I just walked back in. I was raking the leaves. Good morning, Jay. Just had a question for you guys because this is something that's been good since I was a kid. I mean, wouldn't overtime be better like the way they do it in college? I mean, I always loved the college overtime. You know, I think the defense is a little bit more wore out in overtime, and it just doesn't seem as fair. You know, at least in the playoffs, the other team gets an opportunity, but like in a regular season, you get a touchdown, it's all over. And that's it, you know. I just wanted to say that. And the only other thing I wanted to say was, if I don't like the way the guy you guys are asking questions, I just get somebody else to do it.
Yeah. Thanks,
Have
Mark.
A good one, guys.
Yeah. So on overtime as the college format, the arguments against that are what?
The time
can never end. Gambling, stats. Those are always the arguments against it. If Justin Jefferson catches three overtime touchdowns, do we count those? Because you could have games that go to 89-88.
Right. UB Blitz played like a 75-70 yeah. game or something that went to like six overtimes.
That is the argument against it. But I don't know. Like that's to me worrying about one end of the spectrum. One thing about the college football format that I think we could all agree, no one ever says it's unfair. You can't make the case that it's not fair, equitable. What would you say? Each team gets the ball. You alternate who goes first. You either go put points on the board and the other team has to match or beat that, and you take turns. It's like a snake draft of overtime. Where does it get unfair? You are forced to go for two after, what, two overtimes?
Yeah.
It might have parts of it that you don't like, but it's definitely fair. And it even includes mm-hmm. the kicking game, because sometimes you do have to kick field goals. There's no punt game. But I've never had a problem with the college overtime format. It leads to exciting plays. It leads to sometimes like six or seven the game could end here moments.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of drama, but the NFL's never really seemed like they want to go to it, you know, changing things. We already had the Super Bowl last year go to overtime, and we got the new format, thank goodness.
Yep. It's about a fourth down shootout. Each offense takes turns from the 10-yard line.
It's been slow changes because it used to be you could win the toss and kick a field goal and the game was over.
Oh, that was insane.
Yeah.
And you would get the ball where? 25-yard line. So it's like, hey, whoever drives the 30 yards first.
And kicks. It's over.
Just unbelievable that was ever the case.
Yeah. 803-0550. Arnold in Boston. Hey, Arnold, good morning.
Hey, guys, you actually stole the guy before me, stole my thunder. I was saying the same thing. It's pretty unsatisfying that one team doesn't get the ball. I think college rules should apply. But I do have one comment, Jeremy, that I do think there is one element of it that is unfair. Teams always, when they win the coin toss, elect to play defense first.
Yep.
And it's because the second team knows exactly what it needs to do because of kicking. Because if the first team scores a touchdown, the second team knows they cannot kick a field goal. They have to score a touchdown. I would do one thing with college football. I like it. I wish they did in the pros. I'd never thought about your gambling. But the two things I would do is, one, I would eliminate kicking, because that to eliminate that unfairness I just talked about, so that the second team doesn't have an unfair equity knowing what it needs to do. And two, I always thought it was because of injuries that they kept, that they were afraid the game would keep on going on and on and on. I think similar to what was just mentioned a second ago, just start the ball at the 10-yard line instead of the 25 if you're concerned about injuries.
Yeah, Arnold,
your gambling point.
The 10-yard line, isn't that what a lot of high schools used to do? It was called the 10-yard fight?
High school did. I remember in the 80s, Rush Henrietta High School in Rochester beat Fairport in a game doing that. I think it was the best rules ever. I think that was the way to do it.
Yeah.
There was a video game called 10-Yard Fight.
10-Yard Fight?
Yeah, 10-Yard Fight. Like an original Nintendo game called 10-Yard Fight.
Was this the one with all the monsters that were running around playing football?
No, this is just, you're not, let me say this, you're not going to be very impressed with the graphics, Joe.
No.
This game came out in 1983.
1983 video game. Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at this.
10-Yard Fight.
Jeez. We've come a long way in technology.
Yes.
Look at the graphics on this thing. That's a move. They're not going to overhaul rules, though, at this point. Or change them, I don't think, drastically. I'm good where they are right now in overtime, which is what matters most.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs.
In the playoffs. Because there's strat... Yeah, the point about college overtime, how a team always wants to go second. That's right. Yeah. You get the strategic advantage, but you don't get the actual, you're the only team that possesses it advantage.
Yeah, it is annoying when they showed one of the highlights they showed on ESPN this morning of that game last night is the coin toss at the middle of the field. And when the coin lands, Baker Mayfield's reaction, where he throws his head back, eyes are closed. Like, why? Because he just lost... It's like a pick. It's like he threw an interception.
Right.
Is the equivalent of how the coin landed. And that just should never... You shouldn't have the quarterback of one of the teams going, oh, he's lost the game. And standing at the center of the field with the referee. That should never be the case.
Right.
And I feel like we are slowly... It's been baby steps every, like, 3 years. But we are slowly getting there, I think. Like, if you look at the where the train is headed... Like, it might be moving. It doesn't even look like it's moving down the tracks. But where it's headed is eventually, I think, to the coin toss not mattering.
Well, it is just kind of funny where this weekend, Kennesaw State and UTEP could go to overtime, and they will each get possessions, and they'll make sure to settle that game squarely. Meanwhile, Chiefs, Bucks, prime time. They're like, you know what?
Monday Night Football.
Flip it and score a touchdown. That's fine.
Yeah.
We don't care. Of course Baker Mayfield knows, like, oh, we're at Arrowhead and the coin toss went to the Chiefs. The Chiefs fans have had 5 regular season overtime coin tosses to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
That they then immediately won on the first possession.
Maybe someone should check that coin.
They're the worst.
You know, someone thought to check Tom Brady's footballs during an AFC championship.
That's right.
All it takes is somebody to look. That's it.
Challenge the coin.
Just take a look at the coin. Just look around. That's it.
803-0550. Deadline day. Tom tweets in, another year where the defensive line feels like it's lacking. Been since the AFC Championship game in 2020, this has been an issue, and Bean still hasn't been able to get it figured out. What are the defensive line ideas out there? We mentioned Calais Campbell yesterday. We'll talk with
Za'Darius Smith.
Za'Darius Smith. Miles Garrett is a pipe dream. I can't even imagine any team would be able to pry him out of Cleveland. You'd be offering... 2 first-round picks, I think, is the starting point for him.
Yeah.
An elite defensive end.
Which I would do, by the way.
2 first-round picks.
I would absolutely do that, given his age. I don't know that Cleveland would even say yes to that, though. You have a historically good player at that position like that. At that age, you don't give that up.
Yeah, he was ranked the number one player in football on the defensive side by players.
Yeah.
He's consistently defensive player of the year candidate.
But if they wanted to listen, I would absolutely throw two first-round picks at that, especially if they're going to be late first-round picks. Jadeveon Clowney in Carolina is a name that I think is probably going to get moved. He signed a two-year contract, though. Looking right now, Baron Browning in Denver is another one. He's been getting calls, but I don't know why the Broncos would do that right now. Was the record 5-4?
Yeah.
So they're like they're having a good enough season.
Part of the reason they traded him, he's an expiring free agent, and they just signed a contract extension to one of their new young pass rushers who's really good. So Za'Darius Smith.
And then Chase Young in New Orleans.
You mentioned Za'Darius Smith. Mike Florio wrote that it looks like he's going to Detroit.
Oh, really?
Now they're down Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
David Njoku is ready for the right price. Bills don't need another tight end.
No.
Nope.
Oh, please no.
Steelers are looking for receiver help.
They've been looking for receiver help since the summer.
Adam Schefter reports that players have told their agents they want to be traded to the Commanders.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
Saw that report.
The Jets.
Do you think that was two players that got Schefter to tweet that out?
Maybe. More on this, that the Jets won't trade Garrett Wilson or DJ Reed. That's from The Athletic. I will be stunned if the Bills don't make... Maybe stunned's a little strong.
Any trade whatsoever?
I fully expect them to make another trade. The injury thing is a part we don't know yet. If you were to be told Keon Coleman's out 4 weeks, do they have to add another receiver? They might.
I think I would.
Where do they not like their depth? They could go there. Last year, Trey White was hurt, and they went out and got Rasul Douglas, and he was a starting corner for them. He's still on the team. So
that was for the season, though.
That's right. That's right.
If Coleman's out 4 weeks, we also don't know on Coleman. Coleman could be longer than that. We'll have to see. I don't know if his... If his wrist is broken, what is he out for? Does anybody have any clue?
6-8 weeks. Eight weeks.
Okay, so maybe by the playoffs he's back. If that's the injury, you're hoping it's not. McDermott didn't sound that optimistic yesterday, but you're trying to read his phrasing, which is obviously a slippery slope.
Right.
So I don't know. Like we'll see. I think if there's any, hey, this is week to week, long term, we don't really know. I mean, you might just want to add the depth just in case, you know, there's a setback or something and you don't want to end up, you know, having to start Mac Hollins in a playoff game, knowing he just had a decent game. But other, like, receiver ideas around the league, like, that. The thing is, most of the receiver names got traded already.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson's gone. Hopkins is gone. Cooper's gone.
Darius Slayton is the name right now.
Darius Slayton. Yeah. Or K.J. Osborne in New England is another name that is maybe going to get dealt.
Cooper Kupp was available for 5 minutes. It looks like he won't be right now.
Right.
There's a report the Colts are fielding, maybe not fielding calls, but teams have inquired about Anthony Richardson.
I saw that. Yeah.
Trade considered unlikely.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect them to do that. Adam Thielen out of Carolina.
Don't need that.
Is going to get dealt. And that's maybe it. Like, it's slim pickings. You might need, I don't know. Again, there's like three ideas here that make any sense. Elijah Moore in Cleveland, but that player has not ever stuck. You know, like, can you count on him to play and perform for you more than anybody that's on your current roster? Like, is he any different than Curtis Samuel? Elijah Moore? Like, that's just a talented player that everyone's always wondering why he's not doing more. So, how many ideas out there are better than, hey, maybe I get something out of Curtis Samuel? There might not be many. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in Tennessee.
Yeah,
there you go. Our fantasy darling. Maybe he's the name.
803-0550. Okay, when we get back, a new segment that we probably should have started like 9 weeks ago. But Joe and I gave ourselves homework assignments. Right now the working title is Jaron Joe's Knowledge Emporium.
Yes.
This is probably not going to be a good name for this segment. So what we need you to do, listen to it, and then tell us what it should be called. Two dopes talk on the radio. Yeah, whatever it is. Give us an idea what we should call it. But it's a big NFL segment. It's kind of like the wrap-up to SCAF, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. So more knowledge than you can shake a stick at when we get back.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen.
Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Geno Smith hits his back foot. He has to leave the pocket. Throws to the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted and brought out! 10, 20, down the right sideline, cutting inside midfield. It's Cam Kitchens all the way back with a flag down. 10-5, touchdown LA for a go-ahead score. End zone to end zone. It's 19-13 Rams.
Cam Kitchens had a 103-yard interception return for a touchdown over the weekend. All right, here's our new Tuesday 7:30 segment. It needs a name, unless you like Jaron Joe's Knowledge Emporium. Yeah. I give Joe a homework assignment. I also gave myself one. One note from each game, like something you might need to know, you missed, could be a fantasy stat, could be a fun fact. Wrapping up Tuesday's week's worth of games. So, without further ado, I've got one from Rams Seahawks. Cam Kitchens, who had that 103-yard interception return for a touchdown. You notice something missing from that highlight? DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
He said he knew no one was going to catch him because DK was not on the field on that play. Right? Metcalf chased down Buda Baker for a 100-yarder.
Yeah.
So he catches that ball. He's like, I'm safe. No DK.
From that game, Tyler Lockett he's a fast player, right? You know how his mantra, how he slides a lot? Like, he never takes hits and never has? He is dead last in the National Football League in yards over expected.
Wow.
Minus 41 because he just goes down. And in this game, he had a minus, I think, 20. So he had 63 yards. He probably should have had, like, close to 100. So, well, actually, just over 80.
Business decisions.
Also, one play from that game do you see the touchdown Lockett scored? He ran up on a corner that wasn't ready for the play because it was an offside that the corner thought was called dead. So, smart play by Lockett there.
All right, which game you want first?
Let's go to Giants and Commanders.
I've got a great stat from Giants Commanders.
Okay, I've got a great quote from Giants Commanders. Did you see what Malik Nabers said after the game? So, he maybe is losing it with Daniel Jones. He, and maybe Dable. Neighbor said after the game, I don't call the plays, so I mean, I don't know. When you run the clock out of the first half, you're scratching in the second half to try to score points as many as possible. You've got to be able to pass. You can't pick between half and half what you want to do, but like I said, I'm not the play caller. That's Malik Neighbors, a rookie receiver, right after the game.
Listen,
I guess that qualifies as a shot at the coordinator. I feel like it's more a shot at his quarterback. But
Dable and Shane have to expect that. One of the things we learned in that Giants behind-the-scenes thing was drafting Neighbors.
Yeah.
Was they asked him, how do you feel if you don't get the ball? And he says, I don't like it. And Dable said, I like that in a receiver. Brian Dable wants receivers to feel that way.
That's right. That's right.
So, on that game, Commanders-Giants, here's your stat of the day. Washington is averaging 42.5 yards per offensive drive. Every time they get the ball, the Commanders, in 9 weeks, average 43 yards. That is the highest ever.
Wow.
Ever. The Washington Commanders move the ball.
This is maybe why everyone wants to play for them now, apparently. Yeah. Destination, the Commanders.
Highest through weeks 1-9.
ever, the Commanders offense.
Wow.
Speaking of offense, let's go to Chargers-Browns. The Chargers, there's a little bit of both sides of the coin here. The Chargers had the NFL's worst success rate on offense, and they're a good team. And yeah. Greg Roman said last Thursday about Justin Herbert, I don't think people understand the extent of what he was dealing with physically in the beginning part of the year. The Chargers at the start of the year were just handing the ball off all the time. Yeah. In their last three, four games, they are now passing over expected. Herbert's healthy. You got a Quentin Johnston 100-yard game in there.
Yeah, so, he's my thing right now. He's averaging 16 yards per reception. It's down the field. 10 yards per target, which is almost double what it was last season. Like, he was a bust a year ago.
Yeah.
He was terrible. And right now, like, through six games, he's averaging 47 yards per game. In an offense that wasn't throwing the ball a lot at the beginning, like that, he's having a nice season.
Yeah, now they're throwing it.
And then on Cleveland side, what's going on there? Nick Chubb, 2.6 yards per carry.
Not a great game for him.
No,
the Chargers,
I mean,
well, the Chargers' defense is great. It's what's carried them to this point in the season.
Yeah.
They've got a great defense. Raiders, Bengals, I've got something for you.
My thing on the Bengals is just that it sounds like Zach Moss is going to be out for the season, and Chase Brown, who is going to replace him, if you are looking to pick up somebody in fantasy, he's going to get the opportunities. I don't know how long it's going to last, though, because you shouldn't have waivers run today. It should be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Brown's going to be a big one if he's not already owned. He's one of the worst running backs in the league in yards over expected. I think they might trade for a guy. So I might not put all my chips in on Brown. We'll see. Maybe by today, that could be the ETN team, I think.
Okay.
By after today is the Bengals taking a look there. If they think they should add. I mean, their record is still under 500, but they should be pushing for the playoffs.
My Raiders-Bengals note is that the quietest, best ever, who doesn't have a chance to win Rookie of the Year campaign continues. Did you know Brock Bowers is one of five receivers and tight ends with over 300 yak yards? It's Jamar Chase, Khalil Shakir, Chris Godwin,
yeah,
Bowers, and I forget the other guy. 300 yak yards for Brock Bowers, who is up near the top of the league in receptions as well. He has like no chance to win Rookie of the Year because Jaden Daniels has probably got it locked up.
Yeah.
But he is incredible on a team that is incompetent.
Yeah,
in the Raiders.
I never even got to, my Bengals note on this. Here's the stat on the Bengals about them trading for a guy today. The Bengals have only made two trades for players in season in the last 52 years. Two in-season moves in 52 years. 71 in 2020.
Bears-Cardinals. I mentioned we just went to the Raiders. The Raiders fired their offensive coordinator,
yeah,
Luke Getsy. The Bears have the same yards per play as the Raiders.
Wow.
Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, DeAndre Swift. They have the same yards per play as a team that just fired their offensive coordinator who has nobody over there.
So what I've got on the Bears is highest inaccurate target percentage in the NFL.
Caleb
right
Williams.
Now. Highest for receivers. What percentage of your targets are just uncatchable. DJ Moore, 10th highest in the league. Keenan Allen, 8th highest in the league. Roma Dunze, 6th highest in the league. Their top three receivers are all in the top 10 for uncatchable pass rate. Like, they don't even have a chance.
And I've seen.
And Dunze is number 6.
But Caleb Williams has had really two really good games, and both came against the bottom two pass defenses in football.
Did you see the video of DJ Moore walking off the field?
I did see that. Yes. Mid play.
Like, right.
Mid
Williams
play.
Is scrambling around.
He thinks,
out of here.
He thinks the ball's getting thrown away or Williams running out of bounds, and he just walks off the field.
In the middle of the play, it's so weird.
Patriots-Titans, Drake May. The touchdown pass that tied the game, May scrambled for 11.8 seconds on that play. It's the second longest time to throw in the next-gen stats era, second only to Jaden Daniels' Hail Mary from like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So we've got the two longest scramble times of the next-gen stats era in the last 2 weeks.
Tony Pollard this year, running back wise, in the first, I think it's six rounds, is the highest fantasy points over expected guy in the league. Fantasy points over draft position. So right now, Pollard, where you drafted him and where he's been, like, he might end up being a league winner for teams. Per game this season, Pollard is 14th amongst fantasy running backs, and he's doing it on a horrible offense. So Pollard is one of those guys that if you draft him in fantasy, it's been going really well. He's been very good this year. And that was, you know why he was drafted, Lace? Because it's like, oh, it's going to be a split.
With Pollard and Tajay Spears. And that guy doesn't play.
He just doesn't exist.
And he's hurt.
Yeah.
Broncos Ravens, blowout for the Ravens. Their offense is one of the best ever also. NFL insider Tom Pelissero says the Broncos could trade Cortland Sutton still. His name, he's been in trade rumors all year. He's good. He's consistently putting up numbers in that offense.
Yeah.
He did add, Tom Pelissero, the price would not be cheap, but keep an eye on Cortland Sutton on the move today.
Okay. Bo Nix, by the way, one of one on contested targets on the year. I looked. They counted that touchdown as a contested catch.
Nice. He leads the NFL in PPR points from inside the five, Bo Nix. PPR what? Format, because all things included. He has a touchdown.
He leads the league inside the five?
He leads the league in PPR.
That's just a rushing stat, too, isn't it?
It's rushing, it's receiving, it's touchdown, rushing touchdowns. Saints-Panthers, Timo Riska of PFF had this. The Saints are a team that would probably really like to tear down. They never do. And in this case, they can't sell pieces because their cap is so screwed. They can't even sell.
All right.
And they fired their coach yesterday. Good luck hiring a good coach. The Saints have been, you know. The Saints are the cautionary tale about cap jail. Most fan bases fear cap jail. It's really only the Saints that are stuck in it forever.
Well, because they go nuts with it. Another fantasy note for you from this game. Taysom Hill's been a tight end one in six of his last eight games. And he's owned in like 40% of leagues.
His cap hits like $18 million. Jags-Eagles. Here's a stat for you on the Jaguars and how bad they are. Three times this year, the Jaguars have given up fantasy football's highest scoring quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And every quarterback to play the Jaguars, that quarterback has gone above his season average in fantasy points. The only one that didn't was Jordan Love, who left the game early. That's how bad the Jags are.
I saw, this on the Eagles, Jalen Hurts leads the National Football League in touchdown passes of 20-plus yards this season. He has seven on the year. There is a lot happening down the field. In fact, during the last 4 weeks, this is more down the field for Hurts, on air yard throws of 10-plus yards, Jalen Hurts is 20 of 29, 500 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He's playing really well lately. See the pass he threw to Devontae Smith on that touchdown?
It's a heck of a catch. The catch is incredible.
But he's been dealing lately, Hurts has.
Lions-Packers, Jared Goff becomes the first quarterback ever to win three straight at Lambeau as a road quarterback. Goff.
I had this written down. I forgot to update it. Are they still doing the thing with more touchdowns than incompletions?
Yes. Okay. Still going. Six games deep now.
Yep. Which is an NFL record.
Yep.
Four was the record before.
Colts-Vikings. The Colts, in their trip to Minnesota with Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback, had zero red zone trips.
Not one?
Not one.
I mean, I watched that game. I guess that's not surprising. One.
Bills play the Colts this week. Shane Steichen said that Flacco is their quarterback for the rest of the year. They had zero red zone trips in Minnesota.
Yeah. From that game, Justin Jefferson, I saw reviewing, there was a fantasy debate at the end of that night. Would they count his passing yard? He threw a 22-yard pass in this game. Did you see the play?
Mm-mm.
He threw it back across the field. It was almost backwards. And there was some debate on whether or not they were going to reverse that as a stat correction. Because then he wouldn't get credit. He wouldn't get credit for the catch or for the pass. And that would have been like a point and a half, depending on your format. So that was one of those stat corrections that did not end up happening. But it looked backwards to me, but they ended up counting it.
Cowboys-Falcons, the only game left. You know how we do Mr. Brightside?
Yeah.
In Atlanta, I've got video of Kirk Cousins talking about this. They do this thing called swag surfing. And the whole stadium, I guess they started doing this in Kansas City last year, too, which makes me immediately hate it. But we have Mr. Brightside in Atlanta. It's swag surfing. This group is from Atlanta. And the whole stadium rocks back and forth and yells, swag surfing. It looks like Wisconsin Stadium doing the jump around. Yeah. The whole stadium rocking.
Yeah.
Atlanta's having a fun year.
If you missed it from that game, McCarthy is starting to lose his mind. He slammed a tablet in that game after an incompletion on a fourth down. So McCarthy is starting to show his emotion a little bit, which is rare for him, I feel like, at least at that level. And when I say slam, go find the video. He smashed this thing on the ground.
Harder than Jason Kelce smashed that dude's phone?
No.
Okay, because Jason Kelce...
That was harder.
He apologized for that last night, and he should not have. Jeremy and Joe's Knowledge Emporium, or we've already got one suggesting it's the Knowledge Overload. Maybe. It's a lot in there. Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock.
Chris Trapasso, 9 o'clock. It's NFL Trade Deadline Day. For continuing coverage, of course, Election Day, our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN. Hang out with us. Give us a call. Lindy, coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get some hockey talk in. Lindy Ruff coming up top of the hour. Alan Walsh, NHL player agent, reporting that there's a potential push for the Olympics to add three-on-three hockey. Now.
Like in addition
to
the normal hockey?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Sabres hosting Ottawa tonight. The Sens are 6-5. They're having the season we want the Sabres to have. Lindy Ruff next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.